Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that's the theme song for the show that sweeps the prime time on Hump Day, which is Wednesday, and boy, last day of the month. So fast these months go by, and 1 month into the books of 2024, as we flip the script and go into February, maybe the groundhog will see his day. Will it be six more weeks of winter? That's a story for another day. Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. My sidekick, the straw that stirs the drink, I love her dearly, Danielle Orsino in Charlotte, North Carolina, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, we realize 30 minutes goes by quick. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in place, hand off the mic to threes, Danielle, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And man, oh man, there's a lot to talk about as we preview the Super Bowl two straight weeks.
Yeah, we've got a lot going on, Mark. I'm so happy to be here. Everybody can get a hold of me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae and look me up, and then we can discuss everything that's going on because I don't think we're going to get to it all today. There's no possible way because things have happened. Coaches have been hired, fired, and whatever else. What I do want to talk to everybody about, and we're not going to get too into it today, but we'll probably kind of dive a little deeper in the coming weeks, is the Washington Post did a huge expose today on the concussion settlement for the NFL, and I really encourage everybody who's a fan to go and read it because it just tears the roof off of all of this. The main takeaways is that the settlement on its own has shown that it's more difficult for any of these guys to pretty much get a diagnosis of dementia. The NFL has pretty much set a higher standard than even the medical diagnosis and definition of dementia. The players suffering from dementia and CTE are routinely walking away from the settlement with nothing. They're getting denied because they have other health problems. These doctors are blaming B12 deficiency for the dementia. And NFL-funded network of doctors are just languished. You can't get to them. Some of these guys are waiting up to 2 years to see one of these doctors. And it's really just read the article. Just as a fan, you'll be outraged, but read the article and see what you think of it. In between all that, what came down this weekend was the deposition was exposed for what Goodell said during the concussion deliberations. And if you don't think this man needs to be removed, I don't know what else to say to you after hearing some of the stuff he said, in which, now this was, it's not like this was 10 years ago where you were like, well, they didn't really know and whatever else. This was only July of 2022 where once again, he pretty much said in a quote, yeah, there's some risk to playing the sport, but there's risk walking down the street. Goodell. You know, he said that in one cross-examination, the lawyer said, did you find an issue of concern for the NFL that multiple NFL players committed suicide and left notes indicating they wanted their brain studied to determine whether their injuries resulted from their play in the NFL? Goodell replied, I'm not sure I would agree with that entire statement. I think the players who would want to participate in the research necessary to advance science is a positive thing for us. Obviously, the circumstances are incredibly unfortunate. The insurer's counsel, who did not want to pay, asked back, so you think that the players who left notes and said, I want my brain studied, was a positive develop towards science? And once again, this is when you want to tell Goodell, stop talking. When you have research in brains that can be studied, hopefully something good comes from that in discovery. That's how science advances. Obviously, as I stated, the unfortunate circumstances of anybody committing suicide are horrific in themselves, but there are a lot of factors that probably go into that. At another speaking point, he said, we all know the risks for playing football and other sports. There's risks walking down the street. Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But once again, show me more commercials of you guys, of the NFL, like, you know, doing the points on the body and, hey, we're worried about the players and look at this great new helmet we got. And then tell me again how you sold one of the games to a streaming service for $110 million. How about this, Goodell? Once again, just off the top of my head, I am not running the NFL and I'm not a network guy. Why don't you take the $110 million, even a small portion of it, small, and go give it to the CTE Research Institute in Boston, who's doing a lot of work for these players, and give it to them. Don't keep it yourself, because God knows whatever research the NFL is doing, I don't think it's going anywhere. But why don't you walk in there with one of those big Ed McMahon checks, take a photo, and actually give it to the people that want to help. Not you, because I don't believe you're doing crap for these guys. And do something like that to that money that you made, or the gambling, or any of these other things, or the ticket prices, or the big gulp that you're selling for $8, whatever it is, and actually give money to people that care. Because you don't give a crap about these players. Don't tell me you do. I don't want to see any more commercials with you crying and, oh, these guys are like my sons. No, they're not, because I don't even want to think about that. And do something to help these guys. And we'll get into all that later, Mark, but that's my rant. I'm off the soapbox, and we can get into happier things.
No, you bring up some interesting points, and you speak from the heart. You're authentic, and maybe people don't want to hear the truth. Maybe people want to hide it. Hey, listen, we saw, you know, a guy like Michael Jackson, you know, sit there and be surrounded by a lot of people. Nobody wanted to take a stand and say, hey, dude, you got a problem. They all wanted to keep getting the money, so they kept their mouth shut, and look what happened. The guy died. So I think what you bring up is an interesting thing. You know, and I look at two of these four sports that got some serious problems. The NFL and the NBA have some serious problems. And I don't know if it's run by, you know, two guys just taking the money bags, or it's easy money or whatever. But Roger Goodell, to me, is no, by no means, you know, is he the previous guys that ran it, the Pete Rozelles, the Paul Tagliabues. This Roger Goodell's an idiot. He should have been gone after the whole, you know, Raven fiasco and all that. I thought the women's movement was going to get him out. He survived that. He sits there. He makes his $30 million a year. He does absolutely nothing. He's a robot, man. He looks like something out of the Thunderbirds of the old 60s. So this guy needs to go. They need to vote him out and get him out. But he makes money for the owners, so they're not going to get him out. And that's the problem.
Right, the owners are the ones.
Just like our show, we speak from the heart. We don't sugarcoat it. There's nobody here to tell us what we can say, what we can't say. We utilize what our amendments are, and that's what it is. And you're absolutely right. These guys have busted their ass for a league. The league basically threw them out on the, you know, street. And, you know, now they're coming out. I mean, you can sit here, you can sell your product to all these television stations and everything. How come you can't take care of the guys that made money for you? And
that's all I'm saying, is these are the guys off the back.
Yeah,
do something.
They made money for
and
you.
And I'm not going to sit here and view the NFL Network narrative. Because you know what? The NFL Network isn't talking about this. And once ESPN is bought and a piece of the NFL goes into it, they're going to stop talking about it too. So it's up to us, these who are not owned by them, to talk about these things and bring it. Because as the fans, look, I'm not going to – if I really wanted to get on my soapbox, I could stop watching the NFL. Well, that's not going to happen. So as the fans, I feel like we kind of have to speak up and say, hey, do something about it. Just give these guys medical coverage. If it's proven that they have CTE at the time of death, the autopsy is done. They have CTE. Give them the settlement. Give the family the settlement, because you don't know what it's like to live with that. Give it to them. You promised it, give it to them. Stop telling them vitamin B12 deficiency, because as a nurse, I'm going to tell you, that does not cause the level of dementia these guys have. So cut it out.
Right.
You promised them the money. Give it to them. Government intervene, Congress intervene, do what you need to do, because everybody is sitting here. We're all watching it. The Ravens game, the 49ers game, 24 million people tuned in. Give these men the money, the care they need, the ones who came before,
those
who will come after. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And now
you're absolutely right. And, you know, it's the government should step in. I mean, here, you know, here they don't do anything with cigarette smoking and alcohol, and it's bad for you. But, boy, they can push the shot down your throat. I mean, shouldn't we have a right? I mean, we have a right if we want to smoke or drink. Shouldn't we have a right to figure out if we should take a shot or not? I mean, let's call a spade here. I mean, that's the way I look at it. I mean, you know, they can come quick down here and tell me that I need this and they need that. Where were they before COVID when, you know, I didn't have health insurance? They didn't knock on my door and say, God, let's check on Mark, you know, and see how he's doing today. Yeah, same thing with the NFL.
And you know what happens when we hear the helmets hit. Everybody goes, oh, geez, that was our, you know.
Yeah.
You hear Tony Romo go, oh, I heard it from up here. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then we all know. So when you're watching
Danielle, you're making money. You can't develop something to protect the head? I mean, come on.
You're not.
We're sending people to the moon.
Yeah, but unless you seatbelt the brain the way this disease works, and I've studied, I've gone through a lot of this, I came up with two helmets. And I was flat out told by players, it's coming from a woman, Goodell, never take it. But even with my helmet.
Goodell doesn't have to worry.
Developed.
This sport's going to be dead in 20 years. Come on. He doesn't have to worry about it. This sport's going to be dead. I mean, you're going to push the flag football in here. Soccer mom's going to shut it down. Goodell's going to be out of a job.
It's crazy.
I mean, realistically, I know he's got more money to – yeah. It's a flag football league that's coming.
Even if
look at in the Pro Bowl. Look at the Pro Bowl. There's a – well, let me get some of these comments. Dalen from Chelmsford, and have a listen to the show. He goes, guys, you bring up interesting points, but I don't think the sport's going to go away. You know, I honor your opinions, but the sport is here to stay.
I agree.
Dalen, I don't want to burst your bubble, but, you know, everybody thought heavyweight boxing wasn't going anywhere in horse racing, and we found out where those two sports, they went off a cliff. And, you know, just before I brought this up to Danielle, Dalen, why, if it's not going anywhere, then why do we have flag football in the Pro Bowl? Answer me that question. We're just bringing facts. That's all we're bringing. We're not spitting from the, you know, mountaintop here, and you're getting a dash of, you know, a spray. We're spitting some facts here. Tell me, if this sport ain't going away, Dalen, how come that they're playing flag football the last couple seasons out there? People don't want to get hurt. They don't want to jeopardize themselves. That's why they're playing it. Come on, man.
You know why I'm bringing it in, Mark. I'll be honest. I do believe that – I don't believe this sport is going anywhere because it's making too much money, but I do believe that we are coming to a point where they are going to stop it at a certain age, and kids are not going to be allowed to play it at, you know, from – it's not going to be – it'll wind up being junior high school, you know, kind of like JV. You'll start it. Nobody past, you know, this age or under this age will be allowed to play it, and that's where flag football is going to be a bigger deal.
Yeah.
I think it's going to start coming down to something like that, and that's where we're going to see the division, and you're not going to get the quality because, and I don't mean it like, oh, they've got to start, but we're so used to kids starting at such a young age and the athletes develop that it will change the quality of players that come out. Because think about it, if you don't start till junior year of high school, start playing, you're not going to get that college kind of level that we're used to. I think that will change the game to a point. So I think that's kind of where they're going with it, and they know it. But it's anybody's guess at this point. The bottom line is they can't develop anything that can seatbelt the brain. But whether it dies off a little bit or interest is lost here or there, that still doesn't fix the damage that's already been done. And they need to set
up. You're absolutely right.
The insurance
and
the medical
right.
care that they deserve.
Well, here's the other thing. Let me get Barry coming in from Alvin, Texas, saying, guys, rethink everything you're talking about. And also let me throw the best man, a quarterback that I ever saw is Patrick Mahomes. He will shatter every record better than the Staubachs, the Bradys, everything. Well, Alvin, I know you, it sounds like you've been around and you know your football a little bit. Let's put a break on the freight train that's barreling down through Texas there. I know it's a big state, but Patrick Mahomes is no Tom Brady, my friend. I don't care what you say, and you could lay out some facts here, but the facts just don't add up. Because I'll tell you what, the game has changed. They put a skirt on your quarterbacks, man. What are you talking about here? Tom Brady went and had nobody's playing, kind of like LeBron James with the Cleveland Cavaliers and all that. Played with nobodies. Paper cup salesman, car salesman. I don't want to knock anybody that's doing that kind of work, but Tom Brady played that.
There's been
no competition other than this year for your Kansas City Chiefs to absolutely do something. Last year, you know, the screw job between Buffalo and Cincinnati, you only had to face one of those teams. This is the first time this year, Barry, that you've actually had to take a road trip, and you went through Buffalo and Baltimore, and I'll give you that. But you can't tell me as we get in the Super Bowl thing that this ain't a conspiracy clash. They want Kansas City in there. Why?
Well,
because Taylor Swift is making them money. Come on, man. You know, when you dial this show, I don't know if you're in a happy hour somewhere in Alvin, Texas, but you better stop drinking beers after four and dial on this number, because you gotta bring the facts to the table. Patrick Mahomes is a good quarterback. He's no Tom Brady, man. Oh my God! You want to jump on Barry from Alvin, Texas? It's probably in a happy hour bar with one of those Brocken Broncos. It must be one of those saloons out there where you put a few quarters in and you sip a beer and dial us up.
God knows I ain't no Brady fan, but we did beat him twice, so I'll tap my hat to that. Look, Mahomes is good. I'm never going to take it away. Some of the stuff he does, the ball should not be caught, going by body mechanics. I think Mahomes is great. I think the quarterbacks coming up, they're just different. They train differently, everything. When it comes to what happened this weekend, I don't know what the heck the Ravens were thinking, but they beat themselves. It was more of because when you look at it, the total yards, Baltimore had more, 336 compared to 319 for KC. In passing yards, Baltimore actually had more, 255 compared to 230. Baltimore was outrushed only by 8 yards, 89 to 81. What killed Baltimore? The fumbles, the interceptions, the sacks allowed. Baltimore allowed 4 sacks on Lamar. The third downs, KC was crazy with third downs, almost 44%. The penalties, that's what got Baltimore made mistakes, and Lamar regressed. Up to this point, before this game, Lamar was not putting the whole team on his back and being Superman. He looked similar to the mistakes Josh Allen makes, where we all get on Josh and go, what are you doing? You don't have to do this.
Yeah.
It was the same thing. I was watching Lamar going, why? No, don't throw that. You're just looking at him going, you have guys. You have a good wide receiving core. You can do this. Why are you putting this entire game on your back? Nobody asked you to shoulder this. And that's what he did. And those were the mistakes that he made. He regressed, and I think at this point, contract and the hype got in Lamar's head. And you could tell him slamming his helmet down, the frustration. He was not as composed as we had seen him in the pocket. The pass rush was no different than he had faced all season. It's not like I looked at KC's pass rush and went, oh, wow, they've really dialed in. Okay, they got it this time. I didn't see anything from KC that made me go, all right, yeah, they're in. This is a different team. Were they firing a little better on offense than I had been, you know, anything? Okay, they looked good. It's not like they were just taking this game. The Ravens beat themselves. They started to click in the fourth quarter. Now, did Suggs coming in have something to do with it? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he hyped them up. Maybe he should have been there from the beginning. I have no idea. But the PI that did not get called, I think that was BS. There were two of them. The one, though, in the end that could have tied this up, that was huge. That was a big deal. But other than that, I can't say that KC really beat them as much as the Ravens beat themselves. I feel that was the big mistake. As for this Tucker, Mahomes, you know, warm-up issue, I don't know your feelings on it, Mark, but I think it's getting blown out of proportion completely. And the fact that we're still talking about it, to me, I want to look at the team and go, you beat them. Why are you guys still complaining about it? And I feel that way to Mahomes and to Kelce. Kelce, I want to smack at this point. Okay, you're going on your podcast, and all you're doing is complaining about what a jerk, and he's not using those terms, he's using other terms, but I'm trying to keep this PG, guys, about Tucker. Justin Tucker's going, he's a Hall of Famer, and a lot of kickers don't get into the Hall of Fame. He's going to get in. Thank you very much, my Raven fan out there. Yes, I'm acknowledging it. Tucker's going to get in. He shouldn't have been kicking. You know, he was warming up. The story goes he was warming up on both ends of the field. He was in Mahomes' way. Tucker says he spoke to Mahomes. Mahomes was cool with where he was kicking. Then Mahomes said, hey, can you move? Tucker, I think, was being a little bit of a jerk. Could only move like 2 inches. And Mahomes was like, dude, you got to move. And then Kelce came in, picked up Tucker's balls, kicked them out of the way, and then picked up Tucker's helmet and threw it. You're being a jerk. There is some matter, as a friend of mine put it, my Ravens fan, respect and sportsmanship. Getting into someone's head is part of it, but you need to be respectful. Kelce being a baby, and that's what he was being. You were being a jerk. Not necessary. You don't pick up another guy's helmet and throw it. You don't pick up his equipment and throw it. You tell the guy to move. You use whatever expletives you want to move. Tell him to get the F out of the way, and that's it. Now he's going on every podcast going, yeah, if you want to be a jerk, I can be a bigger one, big man. You can be a bigger
First
one.
First of all, this
go.
Guy, this, for, you know what?
I mean, come on.
These guys are like
41.
A 15-minute cart. You know what? And we've talked about this before, and we're getting loaded now. And I know we can't get to all these guys, but, you know, I'll bring a few of them if we can get it in here in 10 minutes. But, you know, these guys are like a 15-minute car chase. Seriously, man. It's like these guys. We saw the Janet Jackson and the Justin Timberlake, the boob job. We saw that, and, yeah, okay, we talked about it. Nobody really cares who the hell you're dating, Kelce. You know, you're not the best tight end in football. I'd take Rob Gronkowski any day of the week. I'd probably take Mark Andrews. You know, give me Heath Shuler. I mean, you know, Miller. These guys, you know, played the game. I mean, you didn't do anything this year. Everybody this lady dates ends up going off a cliff. And I'm sorry. And, you know, the one thing you notice with me, Danielle, and we've been doing this show a long time, and people know me, I don't go back and retract on anything I throw out there. I will not retract on it. And this lady does nothing for me. And I'm sorry. I mean, I know what's going on here. It's a money grab. The NFL is making money. She's going to, you know, getting the young Swifties in this thing. They want the Kansas City-San Francisco thing. It's in Vegas. You know, I understand that. But these two clowns out of Cleveland, Ohio, 130 miles north of where I'm from in Pittsburgh, these two clowns, man, are something out of Duck Dynasty. I mean, really, his brother Jason is a complete moron. I mean, okay, you retired. It was a farewell speech. Then you're going in a suite with your shirt off looking like you ate a buffet table. I mean, come on, man. Nobody cares.
Is he retired?
I mean, the people
was,
in Buffalo, I looked at the guy in Buffalo. He's kind of looking at when Kelce's coming through there. Does anybody really care if you're coming in there without their shirt? That's a daily thing in that city. That's a daily thing for those people to walk around with no shirts at those games, and you decide to make a viral thing on this? Really? I mean, hey, listen, I'm not crying over sour grapes. Make money. Do whatever you want. You two birds of a feather don't do anything for me. You really don't. And then this lady in here, I don't know if I'll make it back from Tokyo. I don't know. Well, if you don't make it back from Tokyo, don't go to the Super Bowl. I got to make it here. Nobody cares how much money you got because when you die, you're not taking that thing with you anyhow. I have never seen a U-Haul in the back of a hearse going to a funeral house. So I don't really care about what these guys do. And the people that say, well, you guys are bitter and all that, we're not bitter. We're just laying facts down. Nobody cares about these guys. Does anybody care outside of Kansas City about the Kansas City Chiefs? Does anybody actually care? Do they have a movement like the Packers or the Steelers or the Patriots? Now we're getting flooded here. We'll get this. Yeah.
If those two guys weren't mean on their podcast, there probably also wouldn't be any less. There would be less venom toward him and Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
To be honest. But when you go on your podcast and, like I said, you got the Ravens. You beat them. You killed them. Don't go and then be nasty, and be a sport. You know, a poor winner toward Tucker and all that. Don't go and, like I said, then get on, you know, Tommy DeVito's parents and how he was raised. I think what it is they tend to come off as mean girls on the podcast. And to be honest, it's during the season. You have to get ready for the Super Bowl. What the heck are you doing a podcast? I don't think some of these players should be commenting on games during the season. You know, make your money. I have no problem with it. But even Tyreek Hill, like, he interviews players that are usually retired or whatever. Micah Parsons, too. Like, you're doing a podcast about games during the season, and then you're blowing up how great your defensive line is, and the Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl. We all saw how that turned out, Honey Bunch. Prepare for your games that are coming. Do your job. Don't worry about the side hustle. Like, I'd love to talk about you and talk to you after the season. Then give me the season wrap-up and give me all the dirt afterwards. But I think with the Kelce brothers, they're just mean. They're not funny. I think they think
yeah, they're – nobody cares. Nobody cares.
But
this is like,
and that's
what was that show? And we're down to 5 minutes. What was that show with the Chrisleys? And then find out 5 months later they all went bankrupt. They all backed – I don't know what those guys were, the Chrisleys.
Oh, I didn't watch the show.
Yeah,
but, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, a bunch of clowns.
That's part of it.
Yeah, that's what these guys are. There'll be a show with the Kelces, and then – everybody will, you know, come out and say this and that. It's a complete joke. Hey, Jack from Bend, Oregon says, guys, I kind of like Taylor Swift. I kind of like the Kansas City Chiefs. They might not have the movement that your other teams that you bring it up, but they're still the cream of the crop into this decade. Yeah, I'll give you that, Jack. I mean, yeah, but does anybody really care about the Kansas City Chiefs outside of Kansas City? You do. You're in Bend, Oregon. I mean, I had a buddy that found a Mahomes jersey at a Goodwill for $9. So, I mean, I didn't see any Chiefs fans buying that thing. So, I don't know, man. When were the Chiefs relevant before Mahomes got there? When were the Chiefs relevant? I mean,
Everybody gets that star player during the draft, and then they launch up. And it's no hate on the Chiefs. I think it's just there is some – due to interpersonal issues with players, and sometimes it has nothing to do with the players. It has to do with their family. We know what's going on with Jackson Mahomes. We know his, Patrick's wife, Brittany. What they do on the side reflects poorly sometimes on the player, and then it goes out to the team. And sometimes it's not fair judgment. But, that's why you got to watch what you do a little bit and, be nice. It doesn't help when the Kelce brothers are being mean girls.
Yeah.
It just doesn't help.
He's trying to put Cleveland on the map. They haven't been on the map for quite a while. It's unbelievable.
It's an issue.
Peter Ray put him on the map. So that's the way I look at it. It should be interesting. I know next week we're going to break into the Super Bowl picks and how these teams got here and the second guessing of Dan Campbell. We're down to 2 minutes, babe. You know how quick that goes?
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about the Lions collapse, and I do feel bad for the Lions.
Bumbling reporters. We were talking about that yesterday, and we're going to talk about that next week. These clown reporters that sleep in their car, some of them, and don't take showers and come out with their notebooks and start writing things and asking dumb questions. We'll find out. Why are you asking Dan Campbell a stupid question when he was aggressive the whole year? Yeah, there's been, he made one play I can understand about, but to question him, you can't second-guess yourself when you go for something. Yeah, maybe he shouldn't take points off the thing, but he was going for the kill. He was trying to get the upper hand. We'll definitely talk about that next week. Yeah. He's a riverboat gambler. Hey, Danielle, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. I know you've got another show coming up at the top of the hour with your sidekick, Chelsea Rice. And I can't wait to do this next week with you.
I can't wait to get into everything next week because there'll be so much to talk about. But at the top of the hour at 8 o'clock, we have A Novel Beginning with myself and C.R. Rice. And we'll be jumping back into an author's reality and discussing the underbelly of the publishing world and everything that goes on along with being an author in this day and age. And then next week, you and I will be back to wrap up the Super Bowl and kind of talk about everything going into it. And I'm sure all the over and unders, but everybody can kind of catch me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae. Look me up and we can talk about all of it.
Yeah, New Orleans and next year will be there covering that one.
Yes,
so that'll
will.
Be a great one. Danielle and I, as we like New Orleans over Vegas, believe it or not. For Danielle Orsino out there in Charlotte, North Carolina, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for making us strong each and every week. You might not understand this, but if you don't, it's an acquired taste, kind of like your first beer, swing it around like mouthwash, spit it out, you get accustomed to it. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms or subscribe to podcast powered now by Mancini Media. Have a blessed one, guys. Stay safe. We'll find out if the groundhog has seen his shadow in a couple days.